the Red Pill Plus Podcast. And we're now doing news plus sports. There's no orange man bad, war good, uniparty mantra here. Red Pill Plus.
Red Pill Plus.
Sports plus news. Done right.
All right. Welcome to the Red Pill Plus Podcast. We're so thankful that you joined us today. And I got a great treat for you, Pillheads, and that is Daniel R. Street, author of Fake News Exposed about Donald Trump. And, man, we're so thankful to have Daniel with us today. Daniel R. Street is an Amazon best-selling author. He's an attorney, 2 decades of experience handling civil litigation in state and federal court, Louisiana. He avidly follows American politics and is deeply concerned about our country and the undermining and the suppression of free speech. He's a hunter, a gun owner, a fisherman, a Christian, and his family live in Monroe, Louisiana. And Daniel, we're so thankful to have you today. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I found you actually through, I think you actually reached out to maybe our podcast, or I don't remember, or the Dot Washburn podcast. And then I started doing a little bit of research on you, and lo and behold, I found out that you and I are from the same neck of the woods. I'm from West Monroe, and you're from Monroe, and anybody from that area knows those are definitely two different places, right, Daniel?
That's exactly right. Very different. Like, close together.
Hey, and there's a river that separates them. I was actually born at St. Francis Hospital. And now I'm old enough because I'm quite a bit older than Daniel. And that is, I'm old enough, Daniel, that when I went to West Monroe was terrible in football. So that's how long ago that's been. So,
that's going way back.
Yeah. Yeah, I left Louisiana in 1986, and the Saints were horrible, and West Monroe was horrible. They became both became really good, so I'm really afraid they won't let me come back to Louisiana because of those two reasons. So, but anyway, we're so thankful that you joined us, and man, I'm just fascinated by one, you know, you're an attorney, and don't want to paint everybody with the same brush, but typically, attorneys are not, in Monroe, and anybody knows anything about Monroe, West Monroe. West Monroe is the rednecks. Monroe is the highbrows, and especially North Monroe. I mean, of course, that may have all changed since I was there. I know a lot of people from Monroe has fled Monroe over to way out in the sticks. But how did you become, or maybe you've always been conservative? How did that happen?
Sure. Yeah, actually, I've always been conservative. And admirer, if you will, of the late President Ronald Reagan.
Yeah, yeah.
And, I think like many Republicans of my generation, I became a Republican because of President Reagan more than anything else. And so I was born in 1971. So when President Reagan took office, I was still a child. And so I registered Republican the day I registered to vote of 1989, and which back at that time in the Deep South where I live or where you're from, that was something of a voice of an act of protest. And I've just, pretty much always been conservative. And from a conservative Southern Christian family.
Yeah, right. That's awesome, man. That's awesome. So how did the writing of these books, how did that come to be?
Yeah, that's a great question. I will tell you, since, as I said, I was an admirer of President Reagan, well, I knew that the media treated conservatives and Republicans differently than it did everyone else. And so there was nothing new about that. But what I noticed, whenever Donald Trump announced his candidacy for the presidency back in 2015, was the media went from very biased nature that it attained during the Obama. Being just, radical and extremist against President Trump. Another thing I noticed was that the GOP establishment kind of piled on.
Yep.
And I thought, that many people, and anytime somebody's taking flak from all sides like that, they're usually over the target. So I started paying close attention. Yeah, and I started paying close attention, and I started documenting all the misinformation being spread about President Trump in particular, and just compiling. And finally, after probably about 3 years worth of it, I said, I could probably make a book out of this. I did. And then it grew to where, the book series, Fake News Exposed About Trump, is 3 volumes. It's a total of 83 chapters that breaks down 83 separate lies and propaganda campaigns waged by the fake news media. And if you buy the books, you get free of this, with each book, you get access to a free chapter. So it's actually 86 chapters just about lies and misinformation and propaganda and biased attacks by the fake news media.
Man, that is one of the undertaking is pretty amazing. That's one. Two, that, you probably typically, maybe more for the criminal defense attorneys is more of a liberal genre, I would think. But again, you're from Louisiana, good Christian home. It's like me. I grew up my dad was a Democrat, but he was, he'd make a good Republican now. Especially he'd be a conservative establishment Republican. He'd be to the way to the right of those guys. But so tell us about these books. I've been reading some today. I was actually in court all day with a family. So I had a lot of time on my hands. So I downloaded one of the books I was reading. And so kind of tell the audience what they can expect from how you laid them out. Do you do much? I saw some commenting on the story, but by far and large, it's just really chronicling their corruption. Is that correct?
Yes. The way the books are set up is, I take each chapter, and each chapter, the chapter title tells you what the attack on President Trump was, for the most part. And if there's some background that's necessary, I provide some background. Then I just start laying out all of the fake news media attacks. And you'll see that some well-known fake news media, legacy media outlets appear over and over again, the New York Times, the Washington Post, the Chicago Tribune, LA Times, ABC, NBC, MSNBC, and CNN. And I just tell them, look, here's the story. Here's the way the fake news media told it. The next section of each chapter is the truth.
Yeah.
Here's what the real story is. And I cite, it's a type of book. It's really powerful for the digital or the e-version, because you can link, there's links to all the sources. You can just pull it up through your computer or your iPhone or your iPad and just go straight to all the sources. And I show everybody, look, here's what really happened. Here's what the truth is. And now you can see what the lie how the lies were being told. And usually they break down, you know, what the basis of the misinformation was, or who's an anonymous source, or they're twisting a document or whatever. And then I've got a commentary section at the end where it's more, I kind of wrap up each chapter with my thoughts about the misinformation campaign. And the beautiful part about it is that if you buy the books and you just keep, I tell everybody they're good reference material, because the next time, first of all, you'll be blown away about all the lies told by media about President Trump and how many of them you've forgotten about.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next time that issue comes up, you can tell somebody, not only is that not true, here's why it's not true, and here's the references to demonstrate that it's not true.
No.
So that's really the powerful point. I've said, you know, I've got a little ulterior motive here, Mr. Copeland. I'd like to get, I'd like to sell 5 million copies of these books and retire. You know? but the truth is that, everyone I've gone to the books to, or everyone that's purchased the books, I've talked to, has just been blown away by the vast volume of misinformation that the media has directed Donald Trump and his family and his supporters. And so, I think it's a good effort on my part anyway to try to set the record straight.
Man, you have done a phenomenal job. You know, one thing that, just in reading a few chapters today while I was sitting outside the courtroom waiting to testify for a family, there was a lot, and I would call myself definitely above average as far as a consumer of news. And even though I don't use any of the legacy media any longer, I don't use Fox News. I'm on X, and I'm taking, you know, getting it from other sources, but certainly not the legacy media or Fox, which I include with the legacy media. But, what I found fascinating, as dialed in as I am, that you told the real story behind the fake news story that I had no idea, time after time. And I was blown away by, I would hear something, think, well, yeah, he probably met with this person, but, you know, then you find out, no, he didn't even meet with him at all. I mean, it was like it wasn't just a tweaking of a lie, it was a bald-faced lie.
Sure. Yeah, it happens all the time. And in the problem, and this is one of the challenges that we face in trying to straighten out the fake news media. It really boils down to what Mark Twain once quipped. Mark Twain once quipped that a lie will travel halfway around the world while the truth is still getting her boots on.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the reality, you literally got to dig. And that's the benefit that I had, because I got to focus on each one of these issues and then you end up finding what the truth is. And just so your audience knows, we're talking about the books cover everything you can think of, from various different aspects of the Russia collusion hoax to misinformation about January 6th to all sorts of different lies about things that President Trump said and did. And we can get into some specifics if you want to. But the simple fact is that the vast majority of time when legacy media is reporting about Donald Trump, I mean, this is my opinion anyway, the vast majority of the time, they're not telling you the truth. And if they do tell you part of the truth, it's usually like it's incidental. It's a byproduct of what they were doing.
Well, a great example of that was I was watching an interview with Vivek Ramaswamy. It was one of the news anchors on Fox News, if I remember right. And she settled on something that President Trump had said. He'd called all the stuff going on in San Francisco. He referred to the element there as vermin, and totally losing any context. It was so out of context how she even posed the question. And to Vivek's, who's my VP choice, hands down, he just pushes back and says, you know, and just refused to allow her to lie. Then I heard Ronald McDaniel the other night, you know, on Fox News and just said, this was about Vivek. And she said, you know, who voted for Obama? And it was just a bald-faced lie. So it's, give us a couple of examples of maybe things that you mentioned that, you know, that were just maybe really glaring that maybe some people would not, maybe not even know, but some that you found that people were really shocked to know.
Sure. Well, what you were talking about President Trump's comment about the environment, that particular tactic used by the media repeatedly against President Trump. So, for instance, back during the administration, President Trump referred to your gang members from a Latin American gang called MS-13 as animals. Well, the media and a bunch of Democrat politicians falsely claimed that he referred to illegal immigrants as animals, and that's not what he did at all. He referred to MS-13 gang members as animals, and there's really no debate about that. That's the time that Nancy Pelosi said that MS-13 gang members had the spark of divinity, if you remember that.
Oh.
Anyway, another time President Trump, the fake news media, and in fact, Joe Biden continually repeats this falsehood, even today, when the media claimed that President Trump said that you could treat coronavirus by drinking bleach. And of course, President Trump never said any such thing, you know. And I cover that one in the books. Another time, the fake news media claimed, and of course, Democratic politicians piled on. This was another one that current President Biden claims caused him to jump in the race. Was when the media claimed that President Trump said that the Nazis at the Charlottesville Charlottesville rallies in 2017 were very fine people. That's not what President Trump said. President Trump said that the Nazis were needed to be condemned universally by everybody. He condemned them many times. He didn't say they were very, very fine people. He said the people who were at the rally was actually for people who were trying to defend a statue of Confederate General Robert E. Lee. And he said some of those are really very fine people. And so the media and Joe Biden lie about that. You know, so those are a couple of good illustrations of misinformation that's said or spread about things that President Trump said. Well, another one you might remember was when the media falsely claimed that President Trump, back during the 2016 election or leading up to the election, they falsely claimed that he threatened to assassinate Hillary Clinton. If you remember that.
I do.
That's covered, and there's a whole chapter in the book about that. And it takes, you'll see why Mark Twain's quip is the truth, because the lie itself is easy to spread. But breaking down the truth, you got to break down the whole story and everything that he actually said and show why that's not what he was talking about. And of course, he never even came close to threatening to assassinate. But those are good illustrations of just literal misinformation spread, and not by some obscure media outlets. These are the most prominent media outlets in America for the most part.
Wow. Hey, let me ask you this. Have you considered, because I think this seems like, oh, we've covered this. You know, this has been hashed. Why are you writing books about all the lies? Everybody knows he's been lied on, but I don't think people know the depth. They don't know the width. They don't know the frequency. They don't know the, you know, just the degree for which he has been lied on. And I'm sitting here while you're talking, and while I was reading today, I thought, man, this stuff, this is a Dinesh D'Souza documentary. This is a Daily Wire thing, and what I want to do, and I'm sitting here talking to you live, or not live, but in our recording. But I want to see this, and I think everything happens. We meet people, and we meet people for a reason. But this stuff has to get out. It's not that people don't know they lie on him. It's when you see it and you're reminded of it over and over, and then the depth, you know, from which they lie. And then, like I said, the severity of the lies and the just complete dishonesty. Have you given any thought to, you know, how you can, obviously you do, you think about this a lot, you put a lot of effort into this, but what's the next step to, if I can use the word digitize or establish this? And that's where I see this. I mean, I love the books and I love the ebooks. And you know, we're going to really promote it ourselves here. In fact, and I told you off the air, but I'm going to have Doc, you know, have you on the show. And ironically, Doc is a DeSantis supporter. And he and I go head to head on that all the time. But and I like Ron DeSantis, but he'll be all over this because this is just phenomenal, phenomenal stuff. So have you given any thought about the next step to maybe to get this beyond the ebook and get this beyond the regular books?
Absolutely. Well, and you know, your question actually brings up several issues, and one of those is what I refer to as relevance. And people, and I've had a number of people ask me this. So, okay, you know, we know that people lied about President Trump in the past, but what's important about that? And why do we need to study on that? And those are legitimate questions. I think that, number one, most people aren't aware of the degree or the nature and extent of the misinformation campaigns of propaganda. Number two, I continue to write on all these issues, and I have a Substack, which is a, you know, an online blog, basically, where I write about ongoing fake news campaigns. That's where I've written about the lawfare being waged against President Trump. And I also have a new book out that's not just about President Trump. It's fake news about COVID. It's fake news that the media has told about Governor DeSantis. It's fake news about Trump and fake news about other things. So that those are all the things I'm doing to keep it all relevant. It's relevant because President Trump's still in the public eye. It's relevant because this misinformation campaign and propaganda is ongoing, and it will not stop until enough people are aware of it that they don't make money doing it anymore. And, you know, it's also relevant because I have ongoing, you know, efforts to stay up to date on current misinformation. And then finally, to answer your question about, you know, what's the plan, basically, and that's what I call the exposure question. So, what can I do to get more exposure? And I can tell you, number one, I'm all ears for any ideas that anybody else has. But I've got, that's why I'm doing a podcast.
Yeah.
And I have advertising. I've advertised on Truth Social. I've advertised on Rumble. I've done some advertising on Facebook, which was, there's another, we could have a whole show. How horrible it is for a conservative to try to do anything on Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
So I am trying to get the exposure out first so that people can see it. People have access to it. People have opportunity to inform themselves. Whether it's buying a book or reading the Substack. My Substack's free. Anybody can sign up.
How do we access it? Really let them know how to find you there on Substack.
Well, the easiest way to find everything I'm doing my website as DanielRStreet.com. There's links to all my social media. There's links to my Substack. There's links to buy all the books and everything else.
Great website. Phenomenal. You know, I'm not a huge website person any longer because of social media. Your website's probably one of the top five I've seen in a long, long time. So,
well, great. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Great. Great.
I'll have to let the guy who designed it for me know.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to get his information because I really, really was impressed with it. The covers are really well done. The book's really well done. Let's talk a little bit. Have you got it? Go ahead.
One other thing I wanted to mention is I have all of the books, the new book and, you know, for the ebook purposes, I combine volumes 1, 2, and 3 into one book. Those are all going to be audiobooks as well. They're actually in review at Amazon right now.
That was my next question. Was could we get it in audiobook? Because I think it would be. But I'm telling you, I can see Matt Walsh or Michael Knowles or somebody. I can see them doing this commentary, having you there, and these lives are up there on the screen over and over. And you make a great point about the reason, and you because of what you've been through and because of the feedback. And I was looking at your rankings and stuff on Amazon today. And man, especially in specific genres, I mean, yeah, you're you know, 900-something thousand overall. But when you start breaking down into, I noticed on one, you're like 237th or something like that in politics and psychology, or you know, different specific genres or categories. So the book is done really well. I think you know this. Just innately, you've scratched the surface just by looking at how many reviews you had. But the reason you said what you said about the relativity is because when you first approached us about coming on the podcast, I was like, man, you know, I love President Trump. I know he's lied on, but is that really relevant? And I said, well, no, I want to have him on. You know, and then when I found out you were LSU grad, you're a Tiger fan, I was like, man, I got to have him on. I don't care if the books are no good. I got to have him on. He's a Tiger fan. And then I read the books, and all of a sudden I was like, whoa, this is not just something good. This is for right now, because here's a lot of people, DeSantis, or if you're a Ramaswamy, or you're a, God forbid, Nikki Haley fan, whomever, don't think for a minute that once they win the nomination and they get in the race, that the media is not going to do the exact same thing to them that they've done to Donald Trump. And so this is not going to stop, you know. So this is almost like a course in, you know, media lying, fake media 101, and it's, you know, 101, 201, 301, 401. It's so in depth. So from here, talk a little bit about your, and give them the website again, DanielRStreet.com, right?
That's correct.
Yeah, fake news exposed about Trump. So give us a little insight into maybe what you're looking at. Have you got more books on the horizon or that you're looking at maybe? Sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, as a matter of fact, my most recent book literally just came out in the last month, and that is Fake News Exposed, 25 on the Worst Media Lies About Conservatives, Guns, COVID, and Everything Else is the title of that book.
So, oh, wow.
Just Trump. And you know, you made a very valid point that I'd like to expound on about Governor DeSantis. My new book has a couple of chapters about fake news that's targeted Governor DeSantis. And I talked about the Don't Say Gay bill is one chapter, if you remember that.
Oh, yeah.
Again, another was about the Martha's Vineyard migrant flight that Florida bankrolled last year.
Okay.
That's where about 50 migrants that had crossed the border and got into Texas. Their clones and Martha's Vineyard up in Massachusetts by the state of Florida. There is absolutely vicious misinformation spread about those two episodes, and it's directly targeting Governor DeSantis. And if you look at how the media treats Governor DeSantis, and in particular, if you want to know in advance how the media is going to handle a Republican politician, all you have to do is look at how the Democrats. And the Democrats talk about DeSantis, Governor DeSantis, in very, very similar terms to the way they talk about Donald Trump.
Yeah.
He's radical. And he's an extremist.
Great point.
They're using a lot of the same tactics. The Governor Newsom, Gavin Newsom, is the leftist Democrat governor in the the state of California, and he called for federal investigations into Governor DeSantis and the state of Florida about migrant flights. There were numerous lawsuits filed over it and everything else. And the Bexar County Sheriff's Office down in Austin, Texas, is investigating the program, the migrant flight program. And so they're going to use, the Democrats are going to continue to use the same lawsuit that they've been targeting President Trump and Republicans. And you got to remember, too, this isn't limited to President Trump. This is the net's cast much wider. They're prosecuting Republicans in numerous states all over the country for what I consider to be protected political speech and political activity. So your point is very valid. People need to pay attention because right now it's mostly directed at President Trump. But in the future, the Democrats, have, from their perspective, they think it's effective. As long as they believe it's an effective tactic, they're going to employ it.
Yeah.
Governor DeSantis needs to be, and his supporters need to be aware of that.
Yeah, and that's one thing that, because I love Governor DeSantis. I thought if President Trump didn't run, he was definitely my choice. And I really became disenfranchised, not with him and not with his policies, more with his supporters, which he can't, you know, he can't control them. But it was almost a naivety that I think, or maybe intentional, you know, being intentionally naive, was to pile on and say, well, you know, and you got Bill Mitchell and some of these other guys on X, you know, saying, you know, well, Trump's finally going to jail for being a, and not realizing so much of this is many. I love your term, and I think that's got to be a book, you know, especially you being an attorney, is The Weapon of Lawfare. You know, that is their new tactic. And then, you know, what drove them nuts about Trump, I think, and now that comes to mind, the reason they doubled down on this lawfare was, Trump pulled took their biggest hammer out of their hand, and that was the Supreme Court. And so, so now they're using these lower courts to penalize, to, you know, persecute. If you'll notice today when I send you that text, I said persecution, not prosecution, because I believe that's what it is. And I guess my biggest beef, and I don't expect you don't have to even comment on it, but I think sometimes even people that are, and I get it, if you don't want to vote for President Trump, that's fine. That's your business. And I don't mean you, I mean people. But you got to realize when you're piling on and saying, yeah, he's corrupt, you know, he should have taken those papers, whatever, you know, he should have took those papers out of Mar-a-Lago or whatever. You don't realize you're aiding and abetting a criminalized justice system against even at the time, a sitting president, now a former president, which is unprecedented. And do you not think, and the state-run media, and I mean that literally, they're aiding and abetting this criminalization of lawfare. You don't think they're going to turn that machine on you, whoever you're supporting, they're going to turn that same machine because that's their new tactic. And so I just wish these other, and that's why I like Vivek Ramaswamy, is because he didn't defend everything that President Trump does, but he realizes what you and I realize. Hey, this is a tactic. They're going to use it on all of you, you know.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, like I said, as long as it's working for them,
they're not going to quit.
No.
It's just that simple.
And I've actually written, there are some of the issues dealt with in volume one of Fake News Exposed About Trump, pertaining to the Mar-a-Lago presidential documents issues and some other of those issues. I've also written about that in my Substack, where I've broken down some of the issues with the federal prosecution of President Trump, both in D.C. and in Florida over the federal documents case. And I've also written about the Georgia indictment and the Manhattan DA's indictment up in New York. Those are all, I mean, in my opinion, just literal politicized radicalism is what they are. And it's, you know, it gets hyper technical to really delve into it. I'll be glad to talk about it if you want. But at the end of the day, you know, what they're doing in a number of places. And another thing to keep in mind, two of these prosecutions are by local district attorneys.
Yeah.
That would be the Fulton County DA has indicted all of these people, including President Trump, about the, you know, their efforts to challenge the election results in Georgia. And that would mean the equivalent of wherever any of your listeners are, of their local county prosecutor. It's ludicrous to begin with. And, you know, the problem is for the average person, and I'm not trying to beat up on average people. The thing is that there are a host of esoteric legal issues wrapped around all of these prosecutions. And most people are just going to glaze over. If I start explaining why the Georgia RICO counts are utter BS, the average person, if their eyes glaze over, I might as well start reading a mathematical formula to them. They don't want to hear it. And so I try to break it down and just say, look, this is just targeting constitutionally protected activity, in my opinion. And it's, and for instance, I even wrote an article recently. This one was published in Intellectual Conservative, if anybody wants to read that, about the recent guilty pleas that were entered in the state of Georgia on those indictments. And, you know, that's where Sidney Powell pleaded guilty, and Janet Ellis pleaded guilty, and Kenneth Chesebro pleaded guilty, and Scott Hall. And I broke that down and explained why these were, in any other context, the prosecutor would have been excoriated for letting people off life.
I mean,
context. It's the walls are closing in, which is total nonsense. They say that every time.
Oh,
yeah. The general point of the plan is guilty to nothing. Oh, the walls are closing in. He's cooperating. There was nothing to cooperate about. You know, and all of these people in those guilty pleas, they're not adjudication of guilt. If they complete the terms of their probation, they're expressly exonerated.
So, wow.
That's how these people are pleading guilty. And you had Sidney Powell charged with multiple felonies. She pleads guilty to a handful of misdemeanors. She's going to get no jail time, fine, have to write a letter, sit down and have a proffer session with some prosecutors, and stay out of trouble for years, and then it's all white, the slate's white clean. So if you're going to defend people for criminal, you know, people charged with crimes, you're going to jump all over that.
Well, sure. See, most people don't realize that. They don't, they just don't, you know, I wouldn't, you know, you being a legal professional, being an attorney, you would. What is probably the most common, because I can just tell you, I know human, you know, the one thing I know is I know people because I've been a pastor for, you know, 40 years. And so are right at 40 years. So I know people, and I know, if I'm responding to these, it's almost like you opened a door when I first read about you and you opened the door. I was like, oh, okay. You know, it's like somebody's at your house and they're ringing the doorbell and you're like, oh man, you know, go away. It's Saturday morning. I'm trying to watch football, you know, but they've got some information that's life altering. And it's almost like the more I open the door, the more I talk to you, the more I read, I'm like, good grief. I didn't. And do you find that to be a response? I have to know that that's probably the response you get. The more people read these books, they're just utterly amazed, almost in disbelief.
Absolutely. All the time. In fact, one of the people that I work with who has helped me as a consultant, you know, he he read my books and then he called me during a conference call. He was basically saying the same thing. Wow. You know, he had no idea that the onslaught of media misinformation was so targeted and so focused and overwhelming against President Trump. And he's like, man, we've got to get these books into everybody's hands. And I said, hey, all for it. Yeah, I've gotten that response. I mean, anybody that reads the books tells me how far away they are.
Oh. Well, and how many, you know, how many situations like this where you just, okay, you know, yeah, that sounds good, and you don't delve into it, and so you miss. Yeah, I think it's a great lesson, a reminder for me is, man, you know, sit down and listen, because I feel like, well, let me back up, because I'm just so blown away by this that, you know, and after I'm talking to you, I'm just even more blown away. But I am a firm believer in that. I read a book one time by two guys, and it was two billionaires who had lost everything they had, and then they basically wrote a book. It was, I think, Robert Fuller was one. Then one was the guy that wrote Chicken Soup for the Soul. And they both were very wealthy, and they made tons of money, and they lost every bit of it. And then they went back and said, okay, you know, rich people can do that. They can, they've got it once, they can do it again. They said, this time we're going to, and this was separate. They didn't even know each other at the time. And we're going to, you know, we're going to build our wealth back, but we're going to build it back and do good with it. There's going to be some altruism to it. It's not going to be just to have six houses or whatever and 15 cars. And they said, when they did that, they met each other. You know, I'm using air quotes here for our listeners, that it was, you know, just a by chance meeting that they met. And then as they started writing this book, they realized that, you know, when you're on a mission, when you kind of get something in your craw, or you get something, I'll say, in your spirit that you just got to do, then God starts putting the people around you, and these pieces just start coming together, just like your friend who consulted you. Now you're talking to me. Well, I'm not a household name, but Doc's a lot bigger than I am. And then Doc literally has guest host for Mark Levin 13 times, and see how the connections start happening. And what I'm saying to you is, I believe you were supposed to write these, and yeah, can you make money? And yeah, you know, and I don't ever mix God and politics, but I believe there's a reason you wrote these books, and I don't think it's just to sell a few books on Amazon. You know, I think there's a much, much bigger purpose here.
Well, I appreciate that. I can tell you that sometimes whenever you pour your heart and soul into something, and it colors, for lack of a better characterization, I would say kind of bigger than you are.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote these books, and I do all of this that I've done, whether it's podcast interviews and podcast appearances and writing. You know, I've written articles that have been published in different periodicals, and then you know, my Substack and my books. I've done all that in my spare time. I don't have very much spare time, to be honest with you, because of my business.
Yeah.
So I tell people, you know, I have people ask me about, you know, why are you doing this? And part of the reason, obviously, like I said, I have an ulterior motive. I'd like to sell 5 million copies of books. You know? the reality is, you know, there just aren't that many people that sell millions and millions of books. Mark Levin, you mentioned Mark Levin. Mark Levin is one who's had a number of books. He sold over 1 million copies. But the reality, number one, it's fun, and I think any time you're able to dedicate your effort and your time and your resources to something you enjoy, then that's a plus. And also, I firmly believe with a lot of the work that I do that somebody needed to do it.
Yeah,
you know, it needed to be done, this needs to be documented. And because the media, look, I'll give you a good for instance. There are two reporters, one for the New York Times and one for the Washington Post. And in the last 2 weeks, wrote articles about President Trump based off of an interview. And said, President Trump's threatening to use the federal government and the Department of Justice to attack his political enemy. And number one, that's not what the man said.
Very.
It's not even a permutation of what the man said. And number two, these two same two clowns haven't said a word about the current regime, which is what I call it.
100%.
Actually doing the same thing. No outcry from these people, no crocodile tears, nothing. But President Trump doesn't even say that's what he's going to do, and they're acting like it's the end of the world, you know. And people need to know, and a record needs to be made just for posterity so that people can say, hey, you know, there was a time in this country, and particularly I call it the Trump years. In the Trump years, where media wasn't just biased, media was absolute misinformation and propaganda. And that's a large part of why I've done what I've done.
Man.
And why I'll continue.
Yeah, you're doing, and I'm telling you, and I'm the, you know, part of the world's greatest optimist, but I'm telling you, I know a hit when I hear it. I know a hit when I read it. You know, you're articulate, you're sharp, and that in this new era of democratic lawfare, and I love that. I'm going to use that so much, and I'll try to give you credit sometimes. And if nobody asks, I'll take credit. But no, I'm joking. I think it's so very important. I don't think it's less important because President Trump is no longer president. I think it's more important. For lessons for the future. Hillsdale College needs to be doing an elective on all the lies that have been told. I mean, this needs to be everywhere, you know. I'm going to be doing everything I can to spread the word and get the word out there. Well, before we get off of here, kind of tell me what you think with the present situation with President Trump, legal situation, and then why don't we, if we got a few minutes, maybe talk about what you think 2024 looks like. And I know that's a little departure from what you typically do, but I would just, from an attorney standpoint, on the present persecution and the aiding and abetting of, you know, the, it's banana republic stuff is what it is. I mean, it's, and here's the thing. If the FBI would do just one iota of research, I guarantee they could find the thread where this is all organized and coordinated. You want to talk about RICO? You want to talk about coordinated criminality? It's the Democratic Party and Obama and Biden and the Democratic machine has coordinated this whole thing. I have no doubt about it. So how does it end up?
Yes,
yeah. Is my question.
Sure. Okay. Just a comment real quick about the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Your comment that, hey, they could dig into this and figure out real quick how it all ties together. And you're absolutely right. They wouldn't even have to dig into it because they're part of the
They're too busy. They're part of it, and then they're too busy chasing grandma that was waving a flag at January 6th, you know. So
that's correct. Okay. You know, what I always tell people when the topic comes up of, hey, Street, what do you think is going to happen with all these prosecutions of President Trump? All right. First and foremost, I would love to be able to tell everyone that none of this will be successful. Okay. I would love to be able to tell you that, but I'm not going to.
Okay.
I don't think the Georgia thing is going to amount to anything. I don't think the federal documents thing is going to amount to anything. the one down at the federal prosecution in Florida. And the one I'm worried about the most is the prosecution in the District of Columbia. And the reason I'm worried about that the most is the judge, the federal judge that's over that case, is, I think, based on the record that we know, that if we have access, and the comments that this judge has made in other cases, everything else, that she is, biased against President Trump. The D.C. Circuit is this little fiefdom that Congress created, and it's loaded with, progressive Democrat judges. So President Trump's saving grace in the District of Columbia is going to be the United States Supreme Court. And the problem is that to get to the Supreme Court in a criminal case is not an easy thing.
Right.
With what he's stacked up against, with the jury pool they have there, with the judge he's got working against him, with the D.C. Circuit, even though I think those charges are all totally bogus, total nonsense, that's the one I'm worried about the most.
Well,
I wish I could tell people that it's all going to be okay, and it may be. If it gets to the Supreme Court on any number of issues, it will be ultimately resolved in his favor, in my opinion. But he's got to get there first, and most of the time in a criminal case, that's after you've been convicted.
Yeah,
Now, does he have a good chance of beating all four of these cases? He does, without a doubt. In fact, there's a couple that I think should have been dismissed already. But ultimately, if I had to, this is what I call a crystal ball question. If I had to shake it up and look at my crystal ball, I would say the big problem is going to be the District of Columbia case.
And it's not
because he should have been charged with anything. He shouldn't. The charges they brought against him are just ludicrous. But he's got the toughest chance for good appellate review by our court there. And he's gonna have to get some intervention by the Supreme Court. President Trump, look, you have what you're up against. Do you remember when the U.S. attorney under President Trump, William Barr, in the Department of Justice tried to dismiss the general plan prosecution?
Mm-hmm.
And the district judge
wouldn't allow them to dismiss it, and they filed a petition for writ of mandamus, which is an extraordinary writ, with the D.C. Circuit, and the D.C. Circuit refused to order the judge to dismiss a prosecution that the prosecutors asked to dismiss. I mean, that's the court that he's not in front of the same district judge, obviously, but that's the same district court with a different judge and the same court of appeal that President Trump's got on that D.C. case. And so it's a very uphill battle getting that dismissed unless the Supreme Court elects discretion to exercise discretionary review if Trump and his attorneys get there.
Wow.
So that was a real problem. It's not that it's ultimately, I will tell you, it will ultimately be exonerated. But that way it's going to pose the most trouble,
so I'm pulling you farther and farther away from the shore. We started with the books, and then I'm asking you to give me your crystal ball, in your words, crystal ball assertion of the legal the lawfare that's being waged against him. Again, I told you I was going to wear that out. And then lastly, I'll get you farthest away from the shore. And your safety net is, so with that going on 2024, how do you see, and it's one man's opinion, I get it, but I'd love to hear, what does that mean for 2024?
All right. First of all, there was a line of argument being spread around by some establishment that claiming all this lawfare against President Trump was to try to get the Republican Party to rally around Trump so he would be the nominee.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, I said, you know, I've been around. I'm 52 years old. I've been around for a long time. I've never heard of a politician being indicted so that he would win.
maybe in the 70s in Louisiana, but that's about it.
It was just ludicrous. And then, but what really put the lie to all of that, if you look at what has happened in various states where, once again, you know, local prosecutors are trying to have President Trump disqualified from running for office under the 14th Amendment.
Yes.
And for your audience, there's a provision of the United States Constitution in the 13th Amendment that was really aimed at excluding their Confederates who held federal office from being reelected. And so it said if you'd been actively engaged in insurrection against the government, you had been a federal officer before, and it lists a couple of, it'd be an officer of the federal government or a congressman or senator, then you're disqualified from holding a future federal office. Well, number one, those efforts are all utterly illegitimate. Because number first, President Trump wasn't involved in any insurrection against the federal government.
Right.
He didn't hold a federal office under that article. It's Article 3, if my memory serves, probably Article 5 of the 14th Amendment.
It doesn't even exist.
Okay, so it's just all nonsense, but I'll tell you this. The Democrats would be trying to get President Trump kicked off the ballot in various different states on this basis if they thought.
100%.
Of course not. So I will tell you. President Trump has a lot of negatives, okay? The vast majority of those negatives are due to all of the illegitimate bad press, misinformation, and propaganda that are spread by fake news media, legacy media. But those negatives pose challenges for Trump that another politician might not encounter. That's why what some people are saying. Supporters claiming to.
Yes,
I mean, our guy is honest. As President Trump. And then you get the people who view Trump very negatively. So those are challenges. But what people may not remember is Donald Trump brings a coalition, if you will, through the poll that no other Republicans has been able to bring together.
Ever, yeah, including Ronald Reagan.
Including Reagan, that's true. And if you look at the states that are now Republican states that were not Republican states in the past, Ohio. Look at the state. I know Wisconsin has a Democrat governor, but look at they got a Republican supermajority. You know. And there are places where President Trump is the candidate for the working class.
Mm-hmm.
And no other Republican can bring that coalition to bear. Hispanic voters, working class voters of all races.
Black voters in unprecedented numbers.
That's right. And every other Republican virtually is an anathema to all of these coalitions. And that's what the Democrats are worried about. And the reason they're worried about it, look at the lengths they had to go to. To win in 2020.
So bogus. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. And they know they're going to have to try to pull the same sleight of hand in 2024. Except this time, everybody knows the game they're playing. So, yeah, they're worried that Trump's going to win. That's what the lawfare is all about. And I can tell you this. If President Trump can make it to the election, particularly with Joe Biden as the opposition. In my opinion, he's going to be the next
president of the United States. And probably the largest landslide in probably since Reagan and Carter. I think it has to be overwhelming because of their, you got to put in their cheating, and they're good at it, man. You know, they're so good at it. Man, fascinating stuff. I want you to come back. I want us to do it again. We'll get all these, audio things, straightened out. And, but man, I know we both have things going on, but I could just talk to you on and on, and I want us to just plan on doing it again, okay?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I have to tell you, it's a real privilege to be on the show, and I thank you for having me on and for really just giving me the opportunity to share what I'm working on with all of your audience.
Absolutely. And tell us one more time how we can get a hold of you. DanielRStreet.com. But then what about social media, X or anywhere else? Are you pretty prominent there?
Yeah. Okay. So DanielRStreet.com is a website. It has links to everything I'm working on, from my books to social media to my Substack. My Substack is DanielRStreet@Substack.com. My Twitter or X handle is DanielRStreet1. That's the number one.
Okay.
Whatever it is. My True Social account is Daniel R. Street at True Social. And so I'm on True Social. I'm on X or Twitter. I'm also on Instagram, but I really don't use Instagram.
Me either. I'm on there, but I don't use it. Yeah.
I post hunting pictures and stuff like that, you know. And but I would encourage everybody to do one thing. Obviously, I'd love for everybody to buy the books. But sign up for the Substack, because the Substack is I cover things that are going on right now on the Substack, and you don't lose the the books. Sometimes by the time a book's published, it's like, oh yeah.
And when can we expect the audio books? And we can find you at Amazon. We can buy the books at Amazon. And when can we expect the audio books?
Well, the audio book, the audio version of my most recent book is in review at ACX right now. It's been in review for about 12 or 14 days. So that should be up literally any day. And then the audio on the Fake News Exposed About Trump series is under review, but it just went in the last couple of days. So 2 or 3 weeks.
Okay, folks. So great Christmas. Stocking stuffers. That's the Fake News Exposed About Trump by Daniel R. Street. Daniel, thank you so much for being here. I look forward, and I'll hit you on a text later, and we'll catch up. And then, but I want to thank you again, and hope you have a wonderful evening. And let's do it again.
Listening to the Red Pill Plus podcast, sports plus news done right. We hope you've enjoyed the show. Make sure to like, rate, and review, and we'll be back soon. In the meantime, hit us up on Facebook and Twitter at Red Pill Plus, and check the website at docwashburn.com/redpill.